We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Sean Rourke from NHL.com. Sean, good morning, brother. How are we doing?
Great, Robbie. How are you? Long time no talk.
I know. It's good to have you back on the program here. I'm doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Sean, I'm curious from your perspective. So I flash back to February the 15th. The Predators got hammered by the Stars 9-2. And it looked like they were quickly kind of fading away in the playoff discussion. And we were talking about selling at the trade deadline around here. They go on a 16-0-2 run. They've got themselves now within 1 point of a playoff, of clinching a playoff berth. What's been just kind of your perspective, your view on watching the Predators with this turnaround? And I guess the quality of team you think they could be heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, it's been great to watch. I was on the bandwagon for the Predators from the beginning. I just thought that they had a good team, that they had underperformed. I think I might be the biggest UC Soros supporter in the world. I just think he's a fantastic goalie, and I think he gives them a confidence. Like, even when his numbers aren't great, like, you watch that Devil game last night, and they had so many chances to blow that game open. You know, at certain times, breakaways, odd man rushes, which is somewhat unusual to see lately from the Predators. But, you know, he just took it all away and frustrated the Devils, who are easily frustrated at this point with the way that they've been struggling, and was able to steal a second point that was so valuable. And we all know when it comes to playoffs, goaltending is going to be huge. But so in seeing them go on that run, you know, I had no idea they were that dominant a team or could be that dominant a team, but I knew they were better than the team you were talking about in February. And it's great to see them on the cusp of being back in the playoffs, because I personally think the playoffs are better with Nashville in it.
Sean, what do you think about the job Andrew Brunette has done this year and how they play now under him?
Fantastic. And I think, you know, he should be one of the people that are considered for coach of the year. I think John Tortorella was in that conversation for a while. Unfortunately, the Flyers are sliding a little bit. Same thing with Carberry in Washington. He's done an unbelievable job without much in the cupboard there, but they've lost six in a row, you know, and are starting to slide out of the picture. I think Andrew, you look at what he's done in the past and the way that he preaches his team to play, you know, to attack and be responsible as well. But it's not a conservative, it's not a Los Angeles Kings type of 1-3-1 attack where you know, they're mostly concerned about defense and trying to grind out games. You know, you'll see the Predators open up and create some offense and still be really responsible defensively. So, to me, he's right at the top of that list of people that you'd consider for coach of the year.
Sean, there was a massive game last night between Dallas and Colorado. Dallas goes on the road. They get the 7-4 win, and it looks like they're going to be the ones that finish at the top of the Central Division. Obviously, a potential playoff matchup for the Predators as well. So how do you view the Stars, the depth that they have, especially at forward, and the quality of team that they could become playoff time?
I think they're great, and it surprised me a little bit. I thought Colorado was going to be the team that came out of the Central. I really like what they have. They've struggled a bit lately, and it, you know, looks like they're going to cede that and go into the 2-3 matchup with Winnipeg there. Dallas is a really dangerous team. Pete DeBoer is a really, really good coach. They have some players on their team that have been around for a long time and are hungry for the Stanley Cup. And then they, you know, anytime you want to talk about being a playoff team and being good, you have to have some additions, right? And they've had some young players come in. Stankoven's come in and just been fantastic. They have Maverick Bork down in the AHL, who's been up and down and can certainly contribute. And much like the Predators, right, they have some elite defensemen that can just change a game. I mean, Miro Heiskanen, not quite as good as Roman Josi, but just a fantastic defenseman that pretty much decides how the game is going to be played, right? It's the pace that he wants to play it at. Slow or fast, he can do everything. So they're going to be a really tough out. And Ottinger is finally coming around. He's had a really subpar year compared to what he's done the first few years in the league. But he's kind of found his game at this point, and that makes them even more dangerous.
Yeah, so they're playing as well as anyone right now, Sean. And obviously last night is a statement. I still feel like, you know, Colorado, I mean, you're talking about championship DNA and incredibly dangerous. You look at Edmonton and Vancouver. Vancouver's been a great story this year. Edmonton's obviously, we know they're very dangerous. If you were a team in the West, and of course we have this discussion around here because we talk about it from the Preds perspective, but if you were in a team in the West and you could rank those four teams in terms of who you would not want to play in the playoffs, Dallas, Colorado, Edmonton, Vancouver. How would you judge those teams in terms of who you would not want to see in a seven-game series?
Well, if we're doing it from who we don't want to see the most, I would put Colorado at the top, Dallas next, Vancouver after that, and then Edmonton. And I only say that about Edmonton because, A, they don't have any kind of playoff pedigree, right? They for all the talent that they have, they haven't succeeded in the playoffs. And I'm still not sold on their goaltending. Stuart Skinner's been much better than he was early in the year. But I don't, you know, if you're looking at goaltenders, to me, Soros is the cream of the crop in the West. And then, you know, if Demko comes back and he's healthy and he's where he was at before, I put him in there. Ottinger's a little bit below that. And I think Skinner's below that, right? And I don't know what their psyche's like. I don't know what happens when they get in trouble, where with a lot of these other teams I do know, right? If Colorado gets in a little bit of trouble, it's not going to faze them. And Dallas is a veteran team. I don't think it's going to faze them. So, you know, for all the offense that Edmonton can produce, I think they're an easier team to match up against, and I think they're easier to score against. And you know, if you could shut them down a little bit, it's going to cause them problems.
Well, Sean, kind of building on that, I mean, I would have to imagine, you know, maybe outside of Toronto heading into the playoffs, because we know what a pressure cooker that place is. But Edmonton's going to have so much pressure on them to produce, to have this be the year to make a deep run in the playoffs. And look, they've got McDavid, they've got Dreisaitl. Obviously, those two are as dangerous as it gets. But how much do you think that factors in this time of year, the pressure that comes with this run that Edmonton's about to embark on? Can they rise to the occasion? Can they not?
I think it's huge because the fan base isn't sold either, right? There's that cautious optimism. But there's also that pessimism, right? And you see it with Toronto. Every time something goes wrong, they're like, oh, here we go again. And that filters into the players. It's not a very conducive atmosphere to being successful. And I think it's that way for all four Canadian teams that are going to make the playoffs, all of whom have a chance to win, right? Winnipeg's a really good team, and Vancouver's a really good team. But no Canadian team has won in forever. You know, it's been more than 30 years since the Canadians won the last Canadian Cup. So, to me, it's a huge amount of pressure. They felt it in the past. They felt it last year against Vegas, right? I covered that series, and you could see it coming. They were so good at one point, and then, you know, game four came, and all of a sudden, they kind of lost their mojo, and then Vegas was on to the next round, and you thought that series was going to be so different. So I think it's a huge part, It comes down to depth, right? Again, when you want to be a really good playoff team, you have to have depth. The one thing that Edmonton's added, and I think is a little bit different, is Bouchard on the back line. He is he's a force for them right now. I think since the All-Star break, there's only five players, not five defensemen, five players that have scored more points than Bouchard. He's really come on with Coffey as his assistant coach, obviously a Hall of Fame defenseman himself. And you know, Paul Coffey, and he's really helped him out and turned him into a much better player than he had been.
Who do you like right now? If you had to pick someone in the East, Sean, who do you view as the favorite on that side?
For a long time, it was the Florida Panthers. I thought they had everything, right? They a really good goaltender in Bobrovsky, a deep defense, you know, Tkachuk leading that team. I think he just brings everybody into the fight. They were the class of the league for a while, not just the East, but they've fallen on hard times. You know, Ekblad's hurt again. They've struggled a little bit. I don't know. You know, last year they were chasing it and they didn't get in until the last game and then went on a miracle run. Obviously, this year they're in. They probably can't get the one spot after losing to Boston the other day. And I don't know if they've taken their foot off the gas a little bit, if they're dealing with some injuries, what it is. But I will tell you that whoever ends up playing them, and we just talked about Toronto, that could be the first round matchup. You know, that's no reward at all. That's a really tough series because, you know, kind of like the Predators and the Stars, they play playoff hockey all year. They are going to punish you. And you know, they have exceptional talent. Reinhart has 50 goals. They're just a team that can do a little bit of everything. And Paul Maurice has seen everything. You know, I covered him extensively through the playoffs last year, through that Eastern Conference final, 4 one-goal games, including a 4-overtime game, you know, against the Carolina Hurricanes. And he never wavered. And then he got to the final and the same thing. You know, that team was outclassed by the Vegas Golden Knights, mainly because they were so injured. Their injury list when the season was over was sobering. But Paul Maurice never wavered. He never got excited. He never got down. He's the perfect guy to coach that team. And it's amazing because he's still a young man and he's been coaching forever. He started coaching when he was 28 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what I was going to do when I was 28 years old.
Sean, last thing for you. In the Norris Trophy conversation, I feel like it's probably Quinn Hughes' award to lose at this point. But you have Yossi making kind of the late season push. Obviously, Cale Makar has been in the discussion all year long. There's Hedman in Tampa Bay. I mean, there's a lot of different defensemen that you could include in the discussion. But kind of how do you view the Norris Trophy race right now?
Well, the way I see it, I think you're right. I think Quinn Hughes is going to win it just because of the numbers. And he's much better defensively than he's been. He really kind of put an emphasis on that. And I think when you have the puck all the time, you don't really have to worry about defense. But when he's been put in defensive situations, he's been better than he had been in the past. I think, you know, I'll be honest with you, at the midway point of the season, Roman Yossi wasn't on my ballot.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was good enough. The second half of the year that he's had is amazing. He will be. I don't have a ballot with the PHWA. We do our own trophy trackers. We'll do them next week. Everybody on our staff votes on them, and then we kind of compile them and try and give the readers a sense of what might happen. We do them every quarter. And Roman will be on my ballot. I don't know whether he's second or third. You know, I really like what Cale Makar does for Colorado. He's another guy that just drives the game, and it is just fantastic. But the second half of the year that Yossi's had has been unbelievable, and he did it again last night when they needed him the most. He was the guy that was there and kind of drove the whole thing as they came back into that game and were able to eke out that second point that they desperately needed.
Well, Sean, it's great to talk to you, brother. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and playoffs right around the corner. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping I'll be in Nashville if everything sorts itself out right for at least a couple of games. So fingers crossed we'll see you all in person and enjoy a little bit of the Nashville nightlife there.
Absolutely, as we have been known to do that. Sean Rourke from NHL.com.